So yesterday morning, I thought it was going to rain for the log splitting party, and so I got up, and wow, it was a beautiful blue sky. And I thought, this is fantastic, you know, and if yesterday was beautiful, I'm going to tell you this morning is glorious. Because this morning is Mother's Day, and there are just, I look, and there are just a lot of moms, and it's glorious. So happy Mother's Day. And so this morning, I've asked Ben, our son Ben, Ben's going to come up, and he's going to thank God for the moms, okay, so...
Dear Lord, thank you for all of these mothers who take care of us. They love us. And I thank you that we have moms to celebrate. And I thank you that it is Mother's Day and that we got to take time to celebrate them and tell them how much we love them because they love us so much. And I thank you that it is Mother's Day. And I pray that we can give back to them, not just today, but like every day. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, buddy. So we could just about be done right now. So no, but that was great. Thank you, Ben. So we're working our way through Mark. And, you know, I think of... I'm going to just put this in just for a second, but I think for moms, you know, I can't think of a more thankless job than being a mom. I really can't. You know, you're up late, you're just pouring your life out for these kids. And I think a lot of times, you know, for these kids and for these husbands, as a matter of fact, you just don't hardly appreciate half the effort that you put in. So moms, thank you for everything that you do. You really, really put your heart into what you do. We're working our way through Mark. And the section today is going to be a little bit odd, okay, because I don't know if you've read through or read ahead a little bit, but it's going to be one of the most exciting Mother's Day sermons you've ever heard, okay? And last week, Mark talked a little bit about when Jesus went back to his hometown, how he really was quite unaccepted, you could say. And I think part of that is people did not recognize the name of Jesus, or in what they had in their head, Mark was talking about, that the Jesus that they knew wasn't the Jesus who was the creator God of the universe. The Jesus they knew was the guy who mowed their yards, the guy who, you know, made their door frames. I loved how he said that last week, that Jesus was the guy who made their door frames, and they just didn't really appreciate him for who he was. Well, this starts out this morning. We're in Mark chapter 6. And it says, Jesus sends out the 12. And so I'm just going to read this section, and then we're going to read the next section here. But it says, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. And calling the 12 to himself, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over every evil spirit or over evil spirits. And these were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. And whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet. And when you leave, as a testimony against them, or shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. But this is what I want to focus on in this section. It says, they went out and preached that the people should repent. And they drove out many demons, and they anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. But and this is one thing I like about Dick's class, he's mentioned this over and over again, is that, you know, Jesus healed the blind, Jesus, you know, did so many things, but he didn't necessarily come to do those things. He came with a message. That was the deal. And the message, in this case, with the disciples going out, was to repent. Repent of your sins. And this was obviously pre-Jesus' death. Now, when Mark wrote this, Jesus had died and risen again. But when the disciples went out, they didn't go out with the message of repent and believe in Jesus and his shed blood on the cross for you, because he hadn't died yet. Their message was to go out and to repent, to turn back to God, which was very much John the Baptist's message. Repent and turn back to God. You know, I don't know if you look at America right now. America's falling apart at the seams. Spiritually speaking, I think we're crumbling from the inside out. And this message is as important today in the United States of America as it is here. Repent and turn back to God, because things are not going well. But now we're going to go to a section so kind of put this on hold here for a minute. Okay, the disciples have gone out. They're going from town to town. They're preaching the message to repent. And now we're going to transition to King Herod. So I got to put this out there. Okay, it's Mother's Day, and are you familiar with the idea of good news, bad news? Right? What do you want to hear first, the good news or the bad news? Usually, maybe the bad news. Well, this is the bad news first. Okay, and as far as a Mother's Day service, I think this is a bad news Mother's Day service. Okay, but stick with me. Okay, will you stick with me on this? So in this first section, verses 14 through 16, it says, King Herod heard about this. Now heard about what? He heard about Jesus, and he heard about Jesus actually doing miraculous things. And when you think of John the Baptist, it's very likely that the last time, or at least possible, that the last time that John the Baptist actually saw Jesus was when he baptized him. Because then John the Baptist had his ministry of baptizing, and then Jesus went off and did his thing. So there's not an indication necessarily that John the Baptist and Jesus had a whole lot of interaction with each other. But Jesus was, in the name of Jesus, there were a lot of things that were happening in the name of Jesus. Well, King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. And some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he is Elijah. And still others claimed, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. Well, this raises a question. Who do you say that Jesus is? I mean, in your life right now, here in Elk, 2017, who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you believe him to be? Do you believe him like last week Mark was talking about? Do you believe him to be the kid that you paid to mow your grass? Was he just a good guy? Do you believe him to be just a kid growing up in a family that had brothers and sisters and there was nothing special about him? Do you believe him like some say that he was Elijah? He was a voice, kind of Old Testament prophet? You know, a lot of people say, hey, Jesus was a really wise guy. Jesus was a great teacher. You know, that's not really the whole, yeah, he was a great teacher. And he was wise, but that doesn't encapsulate the whole picture of who he was. Jesus Christ is God. And that's a question you and I have to wrestle with right now. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Because if you don't, you're missing something. Because that's who he was. And that's who he is. But back to our story. So now it kind of backtracks a little bit, right? Because it just said that Herod had already... He thought Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead. Well, how did he know John died? Well, because he killed him. Okay, so this is what happened in verses 16. So this is the happy Mother's Day part. That just sit still, just hang in there, okay? It says, starting in verse 17, it says, for Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Now, let me explain a little bit what's going on. There's a lot of different Herods in the Bible. So, for example, when Jesus was born, there was King Herod. And the wise men, remember, they came to King Herod and they said, hey, you know, we heard the king of the Jews is born. Can you tell us where he's at? Well, that was a threat, okay? And I'm not super, you know, King Herod, I think that was Herod the Great, and Herod was threatened by that. And remember when Jesus was 2 years old, Herod sent him out, sent out his soldiers to kill all the babies. Okay, well, that was one Herod, but then remember Jesus, Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt, and they fled there until Herod died. So that Herod died, and the next Herod came in, the angel said, you can come back. But they were still afraid, so then they went to Galilee, to Nazareth, but then this is Herod Antipas here that we're talking about here. But it talks about his brother Philip. Well, there was Herod Philip, and Herod Philip was in Rome. And so what had happened is Herod Antipas went to Rome, and he got a liking to Herod Philip's wife. It was his brother's wife, and he liked her. So he took her back with him to Galilee, to Judea. And so that's what's going on here. Herod took his brother's wife, his brother's alive, he took his brother's wife back with him. So whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to marry your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. Okay, so Herodias has been out of shape. She's not happy about this. But what? Think about this for just a minute. What is John the Baptist saying to King Herod? He's saying, repent. Repent. What you're doing is wrong. Repent. But think about this. So Herodias, his wife, who had just been, he had stolen from his brother Philip, nursed a grudge. Does that sound like pleasant? A woman who nurses a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. Okay? She wanted to kill him. And I get a picture in my mind of who is this woman? But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. And when Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came, and on his birthday, Herod's birthday, he gave a great banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. And when the daughter of Herodias, okay, so now you have mom, and now it's her daughter, which is probably Philip's daughter, when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. And her name, her real name, was probably Salome, or I guess if you're an Italian, salami, I'm not really sure. But the king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want. Now think about this dance. So she comes in and dances for the king. And I suspect that it was probably a very sexual dance, and it was probably a very manipulative dance. And this is kind of where I'm going with this, with Herod and her daughter. Where do you think Herodias' daughter learned this stuff? How do you think she became the person that she is? So here's this woman, a daughter of a mother. How do you think, and where do you think she learned this from? So the king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. That always is weird to me, half of my kingdom. But the point is, ask me what you want, and I'm going to do for you what, you know, whatever you ask. So she went, who did she go to? She went to her mother. Think about that. She went to her mother and said, what did she say? She went to her mother and said, what shall I ask for? Think about the power of a mother. If you're a mother in this room, you have power. Not power, but think about the influence. Put it that way. Think about the influence of a mother. So she said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist. Think about that. Your mother says to you, I want the head of John the Baptist, because she has nursed a grudge and she wants him killed. And she's willing to use her daughter to do it. At once, the girl hurried to the king with the request. Does there seem any hesitation there? Not at all. I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Do you think she was just a happy, happy girl filled with God's Spirit who at this moment runs and says, can I have John the Baptist's head on a platter? No, she's had a mother who has nursed her own grudge and probably influenced her daughter in many of the same ways for years and years. at one, okay, so the king was greatly distressed, but because of his oath and on his with to his dinner guests, he didn't want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. Imagine that. I mean, this has got to be one of the grossest passages in all of Scripture. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. The man went, beheaded John in prison, and brought back his head on a platter. And he presented it to the girl, and what did she do? She took it, and she gave it to her mother. That's amazing. Think of the influence of a mother on a daughter, or a son, but in this case, on a daughter. On hearing this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. So, John the Baptist is beheaded. You know, we talked about Peter for just a minute in Sunday school, right? And how Jesus told Peter how he was going to die. And he told Peter that how you are going to die is going to, what? Glorify God. You know, I think we look at life, and I think we kind of don't really see life the way it is sometimes. Someone dies and we go, oh, they died too young. Or, oh, they just, it shouldn't have been that way. And you know what? There's a lot of terrible things that happen. But there, I think God is the one. God's word says he's the one who determined the day of our birth, and he's the one who knows the day we're going to die. God is the one. And he talks about how Peter is going to die, and it's going to glorify God. Well, I'm here to tell you that when John the Baptist had his head cut off, and that's how he died, a gruesome, gruesome death, you know what? That glorified God. And I want you to think about this. John the Baptist was faithful to God's message throughout his life. He was faithful to God's message, and he was faithful unto death. And I'll tell you what, when John the Baptist went to heaven, do you think there was a celebration and an honoring of John the Baptist? And I say there is. And interestingly enough, even on Mother's Day, you know, there some of you moms, you work and work and work and work and work, and you are not noticed and recognized for what you do. But there's someone who notices. God knows the work that you do. God knows. And when you are received into heaven, you will be rewarded for the love that you have poured out in the lives of your kids. Because God knows and he pays attention. Okay, so if I look at Herodias and his daughter, her daughter, you know what I see? I see queen poison and princess poison. Because the poison of the mother has transferred to the daughter, and queen poison and princess poison. But there's two moms in this story, or at least two moms that I see. And what I want to look at is the second mom. Because who's the second mom? You have Herodias, or Salome, whatever her name is, and her mom. But I want to take a look at John the Baptist's mom. Because that's the other person in the story. Who is John the Baptist's mom? So if you turn over to Luke chapter 1, we're going to read just a little bit about John the Baptist's mom. Now, John the Baptist's mom, her name is Elizabeth. Well, you know what? Just one more thing about John the Baptist. Jesus said, well, John the Baptist, remember when he baptized Jesus, and then he continued with his ministry, and Jesus was going on with his, and then John's disciples came to him and said, hey, you know, what's the deal? You know, Jesus' disciples are baptizing more than we are. They're going to him instead of us. And what John the Baptist said is, speaking of Jesus, he must become greater, and I'm going to become less. John knew. He knew what was going on. And they also came and John the Baptist spoke of Jesus as a bridegroom. And he said, Jesus is a bridegroom. And I'm a friend of the bridegroom. I'm just the friend. But the bride belongs to him. And the church, folks, we're the bride. We're Christ's bride. But John the Baptist knew that his ministry was to prepare the way for the Lord, but now the Lord had come. And he accomplished the work God gave him to accomplish. Okay, so back to Luke. So just a kind of a spattering of verses here along the way in regards to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is John the Baptist's mom, okay? And at the same time, Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest. Now this would have been Herod. This would have been Herod the Great. That Mary and Joseph were afraid of. Okay, because this is that at that time. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron, and both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the laws God commanded and regulations blamelessly. So the first thing about Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mom, she was upright in the sight of God. Imagine God looked at Elizabeth and said, you are upright in my sight. And you observe the Lord's commandments. You observe my commandments and regulations blamelessly. Elizabeth loved God, and she followed God, and she obeyed God. But they had no children. Elizabeth was barren, and she was well along in years. Now jumping down to verse 13, it says to Zechariah, the angel is saying, your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to give him the name John. And he will be a joy and a delight to you. I love that, a joy and a delight. John the Baptist is a joy and a delight to his mom and dad. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or other fermented drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Many people in Israel will be brought back, or he will bring back to the Lord their God. That's what John the Baptist did. He said, repent and turn back to your God. Repent and turn back to your God. Jumping down to 13, Zechariah said, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. Okay, that's the question I'll bet for 9 months he wished he would never have asked. And so the angel Gabriel says, you know what? Because you asked that question and you don't believe, you won't speak for 9 months. Verse 24, after this time, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me. Oh, the Lord has done this for me, she said. And in these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. The Lord has done this for me. Now, I want you to think about this. Here's a woman who's long in years in that culture. She didn't have a child, so there was some sort of a what's wrong with you idea of it, right? And you know what? She could be bitter. She could have been a bitter woman. She could have said, God hasn't given me kids. That's not fair. She could have lived a bitter life. Do you think she lived a bitter life? You know, a bitter woman, when God did this, would have said, it's about time. It's about time, God. There was no bitterness in Elizabeth. Okay, let's keep going here. So down to verse 36. Even Elizabeth, your relative. So now actually he's talking to Mary, okay? Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her sixth is in her sixth month. Nothing is impossible with God. So this is when Mary, okay, Gabriel's telling Mary, you're going to have a child, and your relative, Elizabeth, is 6 months along, okay? So now verse 39. At that time, Mary, the mother of Jesus, got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby inside her womb leapt inside her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just John the Baptist later, but Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you, now she's talking to Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Now listen to this. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now think about that. That's Elizabeth speaking to Mary. And now Mary's pregnant with Jesus, and Elizabeth says to Mary, how is it that I'm so blessed
that the mother of my Lord comes to be with me. She knew that her son was going to prepare a way for the Lord, right? Because Zechariah later talks about she knew that her son John was going to prepare the way for the Lord, but she knew that Mary carried the Lord. So think about that. She identified the Lord. Now we're talking about mothers, okay? And first we have bad example, bad mom, okay? Herodias and all of her poison and all of her grudges and all of her hatred being passed on down to her daughter. But now we have Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, John the Baptist was born. Eventually later, he's going to go off and live in the wilderness, but probably not when he's 3 years old, right? I mean, I don't know how old he was when he went off to live in the wilderness, but he lived a long time with mom and dad before he ever went off into the wilderness. And do you know what his mom was doing while he was growing up? She was pointing to Jesus. I mean, you know, in a roundabout way saying, you know, she was pointing to Jesus before he was ever even born. She called Jesus my Lord before he ever was born. That's amazing. And it's possible that Mary, because Mary stayed with her for like 3 months, she was 6 months along when Mary came. It's possible that Mary was actually with Elizabeth when John the Baptist was born. Wouldn't that be cool? If she was there to see John the Baptist born and then she went back home with Joseph to be with Joseph. And then in verse, so now we're just kind of skipping down here, but in verse 76, I'll just read this. It says, "You are my child. You will be called a prophet of the Most High." This is Zechariah talking now, not Elizabeth. But about John the Baptist. "So you are my child, you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him." And then verse 77, "to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." Okay? So, I guess this is kind of my message this morning, is that you moms, in the same way, to a certain extent, that Jesus sent out the 12, right? And they went from town to town to town, and they preached a message of repentance. And really, their message at that moment that was also the message of Jesus, right? People were healed in the name of Jesus. Evil spirits were cast out in the name of Jesus. And I'm just here to tell you, moms, that when I look at Elk and Deer Park and Riverside, in Newport, Spokane. I mean, God has sent out people in 2x2x2s all over the area, mom and dad. And what do you do in your home? I mean, there's a certain extent, you know, you may not be casting out a lot of demons, but you may sometimes. And how many of you heal the wounds of your children? Band-aids, wash cuts, loving and loving and loving. But you know what makes a mom a great mom? You know what made Elizabeth a great mom? Is she had the message of repentance. Repent. Repent. Turn to God. And she pointed to Jesus. She pointed to Jesus before he was ever even born. And do you not think that she pointed to Jesus all along as he was growing up older and older and older? She pointed to Jesus. That's what makes a great mom. And I'm looking at a room right now. I'm looking at a room of Elizabeths and another room of Elizabeths. And you moms, you women, call your kids to repentance and you point to Jesus. And that's what makes you great moms. And you are great moms. And you know what? When you enter heaven, you will be rewarded for the investments that you make in the lives of your kids. Because your kids represent your work. And you know what? It'd be great to say that all is 100% good or all is 100% bad, right? All is black, all is white. And we look at Herodias over here, and she's all bad mom. And Elizabeth, all good mom. Well, you know what? Sometimes, what about you when you look in the mirror? Do any of you go look in the mirror? And so let's say a dad, okay? Let's say a kid walks in. Let's say my son walks in the door, and he gets hurt, he gets hit with a hammer, And blah, blah, blah. You know, what does a dad say sometimes? Where did you hear that? Who taught you how to talk like that? Well, you did, Dad. I heard you say that, right? I mean, sometimes our poison is given to our kids. And yet, as believers, it's unrealistic to think that it's all good or all bad, right? I mean, we're good, but there's a lot of poison inside of us. It's called sin. And we pass our sin on to our kids a lot of times. A lot of times, unknowingly. We're just passing on a lot of sin to our kids. And when a mom looks in the mirror and sees some poison in your own heart, that you see some poison being passed on, isn't the answer for you and for dads, but in this case, Mother's Day, right, for moms, isn't the answer for you the exact same as for your kids? What's the answer? To repent. To repent, be honest, and say, God, I am really blowing it here. But to turn to Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one with the answer and the power to be the mom that God created you to be. Repent and turn to Jesus. And you know what? John's the Baptist, his ministry was to what? To tell people to repent and to turn to Jesus. You know where I think he heard that? You know where I think he heard that growing up? He heard it from his mom and his dad. But he heard it from his mom. And his mom made an impact in his life, I think. And you are making an impact in your kids' lives. I promise you. Sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad, hopefully for the good. Point to Jesus and tell your kids to repent. So, but moms, thank you for being Elizabeths. And you know, sometimes women don't have necessarily their own kids. There's a lot of Sunday school teachers, maybe a lot of different ways that a lot of moms or a lot of women invest into the lives of kids that they're not even their own kids. And sometimes it's that they're investing into the lives of kids. Maybe they are a mom, but they're investing in the lives of kids that aren't even their kids. So I was kind of scratching a list together from the church here of women who invest their lives into other people's kids. And so I wanted to list off these names. And you know, whenever you list off the names, you're in trouble because you're going to miss people. So if your name's not on here and I miss you, please don't take that personally, okay? But thank you for what you do. So on Children's Church, right, kids are down there right now. What are the gals doing? They're saying repent and turn to Jesus, right? So the names I have are Sue Diddick, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, and Gail Wham. I mean, they're down there all the time, and I'm sure, and there are others. Tasha, I know there are other people who help with that sometimes. Heather Warren, I don't know where Heather is, but Heather Warren, well, actually, Morgan Michael spends time with our babies, right, our pre-kindergarten, I think. And, I mean, how many of your kids has Morgan Michael been in her class? And what is she saying? Repent and turn to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Heather Warren with the kindergarten, I believe, and I'm going to get some of these wrong, first and second grade. Chelsea Sprague, pre-kindergarten. Mae Scarpelli, third and fourth grade. And like I said, I'm going to get the grades wrong. But Becky Sprague, Seal Kettle, Tasha Zener with the high school kids. High school girls, Amber Hoffman with high school. I know Cheryl Bland has been in there with the high school girls sometimes, and then with the Way. What are you and Steve doing at the Way? It's the same thing. Repent and turn to Jesus. He's the only answer. Let's see, Taylor Greenslade with the high school girls. Kathy Holloway with VBS, week after week. Ginger Denham, VBS. I mean, this room is filled with Elizabeths who are pointing to Jesus. Or pointing and saying, Jesus is the way. Repent. Jesus is the way. And so for you moms, thanks for being moms. Thanks for the investment that you've made in the lives of your kids. My mom's here today. Thank you, Mom. And my kid's mom is here. Thank you, Sharon, for being the mom that you are. So I'm going to pray, and I think probably Glenn's going to come and pray too or whatever. But God, thanks for this morning, and I just thank you for for your word. And we, as moms and dads, are sent out two by two to proclaim your word in the lives of our kids and our family. And Lord, help us to do that well. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your presence here at this church. Thanks for the moms who are committed to serving you by raising their kids. And so we just thank you for a great morning. We love you. Thank you for your investment into our lives. And we just praise you for this morning and for the opportunity to get together. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.